talk a little bit about levels of communication.
That's good.
We'll probably go over this fairly quickly because I think you all understand that, but there are various levels of communication. We almost intuitively understand that. And it ranges everything from cliche. This would be safe communication using very common phrases about ordinary topics. Greeting. How are you? Do you actually mean that question? For the most part? No. Because if you answer someone and say something that you're not, you don't say just fine, which is the expected answer, and say something different, they're not going to pay attention to you. How are you? I have scarlet fever. Oh, that's nice. And they on they go. They never even heard you. It's a throwaway cliche. It more is like, I acknowledge you are present, sort of. I had my brother-in-law, he's since passed away, but he was terrible at this because he was always very cautious at letting anybody into his world. You ask him how he's doing, he would not even say fine and dandy. You go, F and D, fine and dandy. Okay? That was his language. And it was always cliches. Very self-protective. And, or it's this stuff, what's safe to talk about? Weather, sports. How about those Yankees? You can say that and have no idea what the Yankees really are. I mean, if I say, how about those Yankees, I'm probably thinking Civil War times. How about those Yankees? We'll have an interesting discussion. You're thinking about a sports team. Yeah, so cliches. So it's a very safe level, nothing personal, nothing's really getting out. Then there's factual conversations. No expression of your own ideas or feelings about it. News reports. Did you hear the news about? And then you just, here's my news report. This is what happened. Expressing what others have said. Well, so and said this. Gossip narratives. So you're not expressing your thought about it. You're just exchanging. Hey, so and so said this about so and so, and you're just spilling out, here's the facts. A book report. It's a science lecture. All right? It can be good stuff. But at the same time, there's nothing of you really in it. Here's the facts, nothing but the facts. A lot of talk shows are kind of this way. That's how they try and keep from getting involved in. I'm just reporting what was said. Okay? Factual. Then there's where you start getting the idea of, or exchanging of ideas. It goes beyond factual expression to give in your own thoughts and ideas about the subject. And that can range from a simple statement of general opinion, you know, that's good, that's bad, to a willingness to even argue a point about something. This is my ideas about this. This is why I think these things. So it's a deeper level. Here's my thoughts about this subject, why I think these things about it. So it's not just facts. I'm getting personally involved. So it's a little deeper. Then there's where we're starting to express emotions. There's an increase in vulnerability as you start expressing emotions about whatever's going on. This is how you feel about what's going on. So it's not just a factual, that's good, that's bad, here's my ideas about it. It says, this is bad and I'm really upset about this. There's more of you involved with this. So there's emotional exchange. It could be positive emotions, there could be joy, laughter, and excitement, but understand that usually the positive emotions are not as vulnerable as the negative ones of things like sadness and sorrow and grief and crying. It's a lot easier to smile at someone than to cry on their shoulder. There's less of you involved in laughing about something. So there's a greater depth of exchange of who you are. And while anger can erupt suddenly, even with strangers, most often, where is the greatest anger expressed? It's with those that you actually love. Because you feel a little safer with them and can be more vulnerable to express what you're really feeling because they're going to love you anyway.
The danger of the relationship being broken. Less
less danger. They're not going to walk away from you. They're still going to be there. Or as the, I think it was the Ames brothers saying back in the 40s or 50s, something, you always hurt the one you love, the one that won't hurt at all. Because there's emotional sometimes spillage out when you should be more careful with that, some of that stuff. But we just feel safer that I can express this. They love me for who I am, despite it. Well, when it comes to emotional expression, then who can you express yourself the most to? God. Okay? God, really, because he's already proven he loves you, even as a sinner. As rotten as you are, and he knows everything rotten about you, and he still loves you. So we can certainly be vulnerable to him. There's a vulnerability. All right, and then into the intimate conversation. This is when there's a complete openness. This isn't just, here's my emotion, here's what I think about things, here's how I feel about things. This is the depths of my soul. This is what's really important to me. This is what makes me tick. This is who I really am. There's an exposure here. This is the exchange of the kinds of information, expressing yourself in such ways that if this person was your enemy, they could take that and they could destroy you. Okay, it's the kind of things you share with your best friend. Because you trust that friend, they will protect you, even though you're spilling all sorts of stuff out. You never give that kind of exposure to an enemy, because they would use it to destroy you. All right, that's what we mean by intimacy. So, best friends, personal secrets. Again, exposing your soul to somebody. So these are the levels, and obviously, we will exchange, or actually go through things. Even when with people you love, usually there's going to be, I'm going to hit the cliche, how are you? You know, how did work go today? How was things at home? We'll hit the cliches, and then facts, we exchange that, and you express some ideas about it, and you work your way down. It's very difficult just to walk in to a room and just be really intimate with somebody. We kind of work our way down into that. But of course, if you have that kind of deep relationship, you can work to this, even to the emotional exchanges and intimate exchanges with someone you haven't seen for years, because you have such a good friendship. And, you know, we're older, so we probably have some of those friends. We haven't seen them for years, but when we see them, it's just, we just pick up right where we are and we just have a great time. It's a deep relationship. But it took you some work to get there, right? So these are levels of communication. Now, two thought-provoking questions, because different levels of communication are good in different events, activities in our life. For example, what level of communication should you be having if you're in a public shopping? Cliches, factual, you might even get to a couple ideas as you're exchanging information about a product that someone's trying to sell you and what your ideas about it, but generally there's nothing deep out there when you're in public shopping. At a sporting event, well, I guess it depends on the team and how a fanatic fan, you might get pretty emotional about this. In fact, you may be bearing your soul because this team is everything for you. But generally, it's not going to be that way, right? You're going to have some emotion, some excitement, but I am probably some depression if they lose. All right? You're at a community social. Probably not going to get too deep at a community social, unless you can get the person you want to talk to away from the crowd, right? Okay? The town day, it's community social. One reason why we're trying to get to talk to people, we pull them into the booth to talk with them individually, not out there among the public. We're trying to create an environment where we remove them from this huge mass of people. At church. Okay, depending on the size of church, the smaller the group, the more open you probably will be. But certainly you're probably expressing some emotion. At least, hopefully, you will be some. A small Bible study. With a small Bible study, you might start getting pretty intimate here, okay? Because you've developed those kind of relationships. You trust the people that are there. Now, I've been mentioning trust. As my trust goes up, my level of communication, my level of intimacy is going to go up. If I don't trust them, I'm not going to bear my soul. If I can trust them deeply, I will. All right, with close friends. okay? And then there's intimate friends, okay? With your spouse, with your best friends. There's greater intimacy there. And that's all I'm just saying is that there are these levels, we should be aware of it. And do be aware that what level you may be comfortable with and desire is not where the other person is at. That creates some problems when someone wants you to be their best friend, but you don't trust them, so they're not going to be your best friend. And then they get all upset. Okay, sometimes that's a problem. That takes a little bit of work to get through. And sometimes it can be, it takes a lot of vulnerability to tell someone is that I actually don't trust you. Usually we're kinder than that. At least the ladies are. The guys might not be like, I don't trust you. Kind of blunt, but ladies will start crying. Man, I can't be your best friend. Okay. Usually just a little more cautious. You're just not giving them all the information they're looking for. Why? Because it takes trust. And that takes time. It takes time to develop that kind of level of trust. To really start bearing your soul to somebody else. Some people, you're willing to do that simply because they're a very trustworthy person. But they don't know you. I'm in that position a lot because of my position as a pastor. People trust me because they hear me a lot. They know me. They know something about me. I tell a lot of stories. But they come in the office and I don't know them. So there's often a discord there as they're much more willing to be vulnerable to me than I'm not going to be vulnerable to them. I don't know them and I don't trust them because I don't know them yet. I'm very cautious of that because I've had too many people who take what little they think they know and use it against me. Can't do that. So I hope you understand that. Don't expect other people to have the same level as you. They may not. It may take time. I'm going to go back to my brother-in-law. Maddie was, oh, it's just cliches. And it took several years when we'd see him, especially when I moved in the valley and we started to see him every week, every other week or something, for me to finally get him where he started opening up. And it was finally some ideas, finally got there, found out what his hobbies were, started talking about that. It took a long time for him to start opening up about his emotions and what he thought. Tragically, it was about the time finally developed that kind of relationship is when we moved. So that kind of ended, and he went back to cliches. It will take work. If you really want that kind of relationship, then work hard at it. Just demonstrate you're trustworthy. You're not going to get that all at once. Work at it. But there are these different levels. You want to deepen these levels. So some questions for you to think about. When do you most often communicate at the ideal level? Not just for you to think about yourself. When are you most comfortable with that? Because you may not be comfortable sharing that with even your ideas about things with some people or in some situations. You have definite ideas, you're willing to express them, but neither time or place, nor is it someone you want to get in an argument with. Okay, I hold my tongue a lot sometimes when talking to people because I can express a lot of ideas about the subject, but not the time or place. Okay, what about an emotional level? Okay, when are you comfortable doing that? With whom are you comfortable doing that? Okay, that says a lot about your relationship. And if you want to deepen that, then what work would you need to put in to deepen it so you can be more emotional with somebody? All right, and then how about at an intimate level? That's the hardest one. But we should have some intimate friends. We need that. In fact, a question would be, what conditions would be needed by you to be able to be in an intimate conversation with somebody else? To really expose your soul to somebody? What would be needed for that? What do you think?
I just want to say, this is making me think of something, but safety. We travel a lot, as you know. We meet a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we hit it off with these people and we'll spend a period of time talking and sharing things that we wouldn't even share with people we know because we know we'll never see them again. So there's a safety there. Do you know what I mean?
I do. So
I think the whole issue, it's just making me think now, is you connect with these people, but now, coming back to this, you've got to feel safe with whoever you're communicating with. Now, we know we're never seeing them again, so it's never going to be used against us, but here...
That's right, but you're not going to let them video record your conversation,
either. Of course not, no.
That's why it's safe.
Yes, but you know what I'm saying, but here, you know, back here, you've got to trust who you're sharing your soul with, you know, because it matters here, where out there it doesn't really matter at all.
It doesn't matter, because it's something very precious,
yeah,
and you want to be very careful with it,
mm-hmm.
and that's why... You know, when it comes to levels of friendship, and I talked about that in the last seminar, it's good to go back to, levels of friendship, we can't usually handle more than a few intimate friends. Just the amount of work, vulnerability that it takes to be at that level, we just can't handle it. So most people, 2-3, some can handle more than that. Then we may have a lot of close friends that may move in and out of that kind of level, but it takes a lot. It's a lot of work. So, there's a few that we may be there, but we do need them. We need those that we can trust to bear our souls to, that can give us the feedback we need on are we walking with God the way we should? Or this person who's going to hold me accountable if there's this area I'm struggling? Or the person who's going to encourage me in the area that I'm struggling? But I'm not going to tell everybody what that struggle is. Okay? That takes work to get there. Close friends, you will share some intimate things, but maybe not as quite, you know, that kind of depth. Acquaintances, you're not sharing any of that stuff. Okay? You just don't know them well enough. Can I trust them with this information? And that's not just, that takes time to develop, because that's how trust is developed. Over time, that I've shared something and they handled it well. I shared something more, they handled that well. They kept my secret. You know, Proverbs warns about gossips. Why? Because let's face it, if they're gossiping to you, guess what they're doing about you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's amazing how people don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
They think they're in the end. If it wasn't a tragedy, it'd be hilarious. As you're watching people who are gossiping about each other, don't you realize they're gossiping to each other about somebody else? And they all think they can trust each other. And they're just this circle of just, you've got to be kidding. It's emails are fun for that one, because you get emails from everybody and you're watching this unfold in front of you. It's like, folks, you're trusting the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So what conditions are intimate level? And then the question is, what is your level with God? And when is an intimate? All right? Sometimes the intimacy with God isn't there as it should be, because we have this wrong idea of God. There is no one we can trust more.
He already knows.
And he does already know. And yet so often we treat it like, well, I'm not going to let him know about this. I'm not telling God about that. I'm not going to pray about this because I don't want him to know. But he already knows.
He knows better than we do ourselves.
Now, you need to be reverent toward him. But if you're upset and you're upset with God because he didn't do it the way you want, guess what? He already knows that about you. So you can express that with reverence as he works you through to his now understand who I am, as he did with Job. Okay? He will get to you. You can definitely be intimate with God. But often that it ends up being shallow, because I don't want to be that vulnerable. But there's no one I can be more vulnerable to than my relationship with my Savior. He's already proved his love in a way that no one else can. Because he loved me while I was a sinner. And he was perfect. So, what's behind the blockage is going to end up being with, really down to fear. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So the question you should be asking, who can you share with an intimate level, and then what enables that? Because if you can figure out what enables that, then you know something more about yourself than how you can develop that further. What enables that you have that kind of relationship with somebody? All right? And then also, what hinders it? Why will you not be closer, more vulnerable to certain people? And then be honest about it. Because if you're honest about it, then you start working on if there's something you want to change. All right? Okay, why would someone only communicate at levels 1, 2, or 3? Well, again, it's going to be an issue of trust. I'm not trusting you for more. If you get down to a level 4, what can enable that sometimes to move quickly? A lot of factors, but something has been occurring that has told me I can trust this individual. It could be recommendation of other people. It could be because you've seen the kinds of friendships they have with other people. It could be just an observation. You recognize this is a person who never talks ill of other people, never talks about other people, never gossips. Bingo, there's a good one. That's the person you want to be a friend with. The one who gossips, you can keep that pretty shallow. All right? And so sometimes you can develop a relationship very quickly. Or sometimes, I think, as you were expressing it, Nancy, you know, you kind of hit it off with people. You're not even sure why. But it just, you start talking and just immediately you start, you can be pretty vulnerable. And you're not even sure why. If you can figure that out, maybe you can create that more often. We actually do try and do that in evangelism. We want to try and create a safe environment for someone to be able to start sharing what's really going on with them. And that takes work. It takes forethought. It doesn't happen automatically. All right? Let me go back to that one. Let's express more about evangelism. To do evangelism well, you need to have trust. You need to be able to talk at a more... at a deeper level. You want to get to what they're thinking and then what they're feeling, what is their reaction to God, what are their hopes and dreams. There's an idea that friendship evangelism is best, and one way it is best. As long as you keep the idea that you have a purpose in developing this friendship and you're moving steadily toward making sure that's your goal. The problem I've seen most of the time with the idea of friendship evangelism has been is I've made a friend, but I never bring up God. I never bring up what's uncomfortable, because now I don't want to lose the friend. See the problem? Now the friend has become more valuable to me than God is, so now I want to know, what kind of friend are you really that you're not going to share the truth with this person? Are you willing to risk the friendship for the sake of the gospel? So that's its real detriment, is people lose sight of why they were supposedly doing it. We should be developing friends, friends with all sorts of people for the purpose of the gospel. But my friendship with Christ is first and foremost. If I lose the friendship, I lose the friendship. Because the gospel is more important. And if I'm a true friend, I'm willing to lose that friendship that I might see that person saved. So for those who want to advocate friendship evangelism, then do the evangelism. Okay, it's not just about developing a friendship. It's a purpose in the friendship. Okay, but you're still going to be a true friend anyways. Even if they reject you because they don't want to have that, you remain the true friend. Otherwise, you get into this thing is that this was all just about exploiting them, and it's not. You're a true friend because you share the gospel. You remain a true friend even if they reject you. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. What happens, what I'm thinking of, it's hard to get to that emotional stage in a couple of meetings.
It can be.
So you're going to meet with a person, of some level of friendship is going to develop. I mean, how can it not? Mm-hmm. So it's you got to find that
you
balance.
You got Phil's boss who's...
you got to find that place in between where you're not going to be willing to protect the friendship and throw the gospel out the window.
Exactly. What's necessary for level 5 communication, both in general and in you specifically? Right, that's going to be a whole lot more. Okay? That's going to take some work. Let me throw this one out. What blocks it, what's the greatest hindrance, is fear. On all these levels. I don't trust, I fear what could happen. It could be something deep-seated within you that you're just fearful. It could be what other people told you about this person already, so I'm cautious. It could just be... you're not comfortable yet. You're working towards being able to be more vulnerable. But when it comes to evangelism, we've got to make sure that fear is not what blocks us. How do you get people to be more open with you? Be vulnerable to them. Now here's where the balance starts coming in. What can you be vulnerable about? so that they don't take that and then use it against you. Okay? So we're going to be cautious, but wise, and we're going to overcome our own fears, which we should be able to do because who do we trust? We trust God. So if someone rejects me, if they use it against me, if they slander me, I still trust God. Okay, for me, this is every Sunday, I got to think about this, because I'm going to have to declare what the Word says, and I know there's people out there that do not like what I'm saying. And I know now that it's on YouTube, at some point, someone's going to start looking at it, oh, you can't be on YouTube, you've said a hateful thing. Yep, God loves you, and He's going to condemn you for your sin if you don't repent. That's hateful. I recognize that. I have to love God more, and my trust is in Him, that even if I'm hurt, He's the one who comforts me. So we overcome fear because perfect love casts out fear. All right? Christ loves me perfectly, so I do not have to fear. I don't have to be controlled by it. So when it comes to deepening levels of friendship, who takes the lead? We do, because we're Christians, because of a relationship with God. We take the lead, because we can. All right? Okay. Any questions on levels of friendship or any your own thoughts about that? None. All right.